Confession can, in theory, be powerful enough to completely eliminate our need for purgatory. I explained that in another video that I'll link at the very end. However, these three saints reveal the one thing about confession that nearly each and every one of us misses, and we have to deal with this problem. We're going to talk about that in today's video. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. Here's the first one from Saint Litowina of Schiedam. Saint Litowina in purgatory saw a soul that suffered also for mortal sins not sufficiently expiated on earth. The incident is thus related in the life of the saint that a man who had been for a long time a slave of the demon of impurity finally had the happiness of being converted. He confessed his sins with great contrition, but prevented by death, had not the time to atone by just penance for his numerous sins. Litowina, who knew him well, prayed much for him. 12 years after his death, she still continued to pray when in one of her ecstasies, being taken into purgatory by her angel guardian, she heard a mournful voice issuing from a deep pit. "It is the soul of that man," said the angel, "for whom you have prayed with so much fervor and constancy." She was astonished to find him so deep in purgatory 12 years after his death. Here's the next story, and you'll see the common pattern. This is from the life of St. Vincent Ferrer. He was a celebrated wonder worker of the Order of St. Dominic who preached with so much eloquence the great truth of the judgment of God, and he had a sister who remained unmoved either by the words or example or of her saintly brother. She was full of the spirit of the world, intoxicated with its pleasures, and walked with rapid strides towards her eternal ruin. Meanwhile, the saint prayed for her conversion, and his prayer was finally answered. The unfortunate sinner fell mortally sick, and at the moment of death, entering into herself, she made her confession with sincere repentance. Some days after her death, whilst her brother was celebrating the holy sacrifice, she appeared to him in the midst of flames and a prey to the most intolerable torments. "Alas, my dear brother," said he, "I am condemned to undergo these torments until the day of the last judgment." Now, he did offer many masses for her, releasing her early. But on to the next story by St. Bridget of Sweden. The revelations of St. Bridget, which are held in such esteem by the church, we read there in Book 6 that the saint saw herself transported in spirit into purgatory, and that among others she saw there a young lady of high birth who had formerly abandoned herself to the luxury and vanities of the world. This unfortunate soul related to her the history of her life and the sad state in which she then was. "Happily," said she, "before death, I confessed my sins in such dispositions as to escape hell, but now I suffer here to expiate the worldly life that my mother did not prevent me from leading. If I have not incurred eternal damnation, it was because of a special grace of God's mercy that touched my heart with sincere repentance. I made a good confession, and thus I've been delivered from hell, yet only to see myself precipitated into the most horrible torments of purgatory." Now, some of these stories you may have heard, but this one particular detail should jump out to you as it did to me, that all of these people made good confessions. They confessed with sincere repentance, what we may even call a perfect contrition. Now, we should strive to have perfect contrition, as explained in that other video. However, we cannot rely on that without doing this other area of penance. Now, we want to talk about these two aspects of confession and really the one thing that these saints are pointing us to that all of us are missing. There's two things. There's the guilt and the penalty. Confession always forgives the guilt. Think of guilt gets you out of Gehenna. When that is forgiven, no hell for you. However, the penalty is what takes you to purgatory. Guilt takes you to Gehenna. Penalty takes you to purgatory. And the penalty is the thing that all of us don't really do. Now, the priest will typically assign a small, tiny portion to eliminate some of that guilt. It sometimes is this impression that just by saying three Hail Marys, that all of the penalty is forgiven. Now, here's the problem, that right now we're not exactly really led to understanding how much penalty does each sin carry. This is a really serious question. Now, a good guide on this is an ancient manuscript called the Irish Penitentials. Now, here's some history about confession that you probably didn't know. It has not always looked the same. The sacraments have changed over the years in how they have been exercised. Even the Mass. We've changed language. We don't even know, for instance, what the Mass would have looked like in the apostolic age. We don't have all the papers or documents to show us. We don't really know, but things have changed. In the early church, confession, the sacrament of confession, was hardly used. It was seen as this sort of extreme thing to be done only on certain circumstances, because the thought was that if you were baptized and turned to Jesus and then you sinned against him, then the thought was that there was no remedy for you. You've turned your back on Jesus, and it was sort of looked at as very permanent. So confession was rarely used. Now, the Irish and the Irish monks began developing a way to implement confession more frequently. So they made these lists of penances appropriate to different sins. Listen to this. Now, you may faint upon hearing this, and they don't exactly describe what it means, but hear this. He who commits theft once shall do penance for 1 year, more than once for 2 years. He who slays his brother, not with malice aforethought, if from sudden anger, shall do penance for 3 years. Likewise, an adulterer do penance for 3 years. Those who become drunk through ignorance, 15 days, through negligence, 40 days, through contempt, 3 40-day periods. A bishop who willfully commits murder or any kind of fornication or fraud shall do penance for 13 years, but a presbyter 7 years on bread and water, and a tidbit on Sunday or Saturday, a deacon 6 years, a monk not in holy orders 4 years, unless they are hindered by infirmity. So they give a whole list of different types of penances that we can do. They give us this reality. What they really point to us is that we must do serious penance for each of the different sins that we've committed. And we have to keep track of each of them. This is what gets difficult, because after you've lived a long time, you've committed a lot of sins, and we don't keep track of the penalty that we should do for each of them. Now, if at this moment you're thinking to yourself, how can we keep track of this? Who cares? Can't God just sweep all of this under a rug? Consider your relationships, especially if you're in marriage. In marriage, it's the same thing. It's not good enough just to tell your spouse you're sorry. That's where you start. You also need to repair the thing that you did wrong. And if you keep forgetting all of these things, what do you notice? These things that keep getting swept under the rug actually become this wall between you and your spouse. And after 30 years of marriage, those of you that are very cold towards one another, very distant, and you don't even remember why, there's reasons why. It's because you didn't take care of the penalty for all of the mistakes you committed against your spouse. The exact same thing with you and God. So here's the problem. We need to, in some way, suffer for the sins that we have committed out of love for God. There's just no way around it. The more and more that I read about this, everyone tries to get out of it. Everyone tries to escape this. Now, these are 5 ways that we can consider doing this. Let's think about this. Okay. The first one would be to ask for our purgatory on earth. Several saints have done this. I've read this in various different places. This is a valid thing in our tradition. Lord, give me my purgatory now. Now, before you ask that, know that that will be very difficult. One time when I asked the Lord to let me experience purgatory for a little bit, I went mountain biking and broke my neck. So it's a very serious thing that you're asking, but you also need to remember that 1 week in purgatory feels like 700 years. So before you say no to that, remember that you'll have to say yes to it at some point. Number 2 is to ask for suffering in general. Now, I do want to read to you an account of someone that I know that did that. And it's important for you to be aware of this, because although this is sort of frightening, we have to at some point face it. So they said, excruciating. Since October, I literally did ask him for suffering. I didn't think it was going to be so long and so severe. Painful medication, hospital stay for a month on a PICC line of antibiotics, home health nurses, and at this point I've been to neurosurgeons, many surgeons, and they can't figure out why my right leg still fails me and I fall. Still completely numb and spiderweb pulsating pain. Now, if I were to tell you that that were a soul in purgatory revealing their pain, it would sound exactly like what they would be experiencing in purgatory, doesn't it? Don't you think? But this is what we should willingly be taking on here on earth. The third thing that we could do is we can ask for a desire to suffer. Now, this would be kind of the easiest of these three, because if we ask God for a desire for suffering, we're going to want to suffer. So at least in this sense, the suffering will be less difficult because there will be a hunger for it. If you read the lives of enough saints, they all had this. They all yearned to suffer out of love for God. The fourth could be paying off immense amounts of other people's debts. That's what I'm trying to do with this channel. I'm trying to get as many people on the planet to pray for the souls in purgatory, that all of us pay off all these purgatory souls' debts so that my own debts can be cleared. You could do this in your own version of it. Number five, Divine Mercy Sunday and other prayers with promises. Now, many people will run to this fifth option as the easy option, but we always want to be very careful with these prayers because we need to really pray them, not just say them. It's not enough to just speak them with our lips to kind of get out of it. We need to pray them humbly, trusting that the Lord will grant this promise, but not because of the promise, not want to suffer at all or not want to do anything. So we need to kind of use those in accordance with a life of holiness. Now, although the last two are the easiest, you may want to consider doing the first three for at least a couple of reasons. Nearly every saint and apparition and everywhere, they showcase the need for suffering and our growth of holiness. So whatever you suffer here on earth, not only will clear your debts, which is what we're talking about here, what confession is and the one thing that we're missing, penance. However, the suffering will also be credited to you as merit, and it will also help you grow in holiness here on earth. It's what will make you a saint now. And you don't just want to get to the judgment with no debt. Yes, that's an incredible thing to do. You also want to get there with incredible amount of credits, what you would call being a saint, being holy. When you think about all this, there's really something deeper going on. The fact that we are so afraid of suffering for God, the fact that we are so resistant, really points to the fact that we have such a small love of God that we don't actually love Him at all. Because anyone who really loves anyone else, especially God, wants to suffer for them. So our little desire for suffering actually reveals how little we love God. How can we fix that? I actually talk about this incredible problem in another video right here in my other channel, Uniquely Mary. Now, if this video has helped you in any way, please subscribe and support this channel through Buy Me a Coffee. I'll see you in the next one.